Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Appreciate you guys hanging out here today on this Tuesday. We are going to talk a little bit more about the Bengals and the Rams today. We're going to have some different guests jump in here on Mean Streets over the next couple of weeks just to give different takes. You guys don't want to hear me talk about the Rams and the Bengals nonstop every single day. Tino's going to drop by. We're going to take a look again at the Super Bowl odds. We kind of touched on them yesterday. You know, we had some fun with Evan McPherson. I think at the time he was 150-1. He was now 60-1 over at Bet365. So I think a lot of people are just sprinkling a couple bucks on Evan McPherson. Why not? I mean, a couple bucks here and there. I do think it's hilarious to see the odds come crashing down a little bit. But we did talk at length about him and other potential Super Bowl MVPs, as we're just a little under 2 weeks away from it happening in Los Angeles. So Tina's going to drop by. We'll touch on that. It's officially it for Tom Brady now. Adam Schefter looks like he was right. Tom Brady announced on his Instagram page that he is done. I think 4 or 5 pages, and I don't think I saw anything New England related. Not a shout out to the Pats, to Kroft, to Belichick, the success that he had in New England. And I'm seeing some people that are talking and they're saying they're really shocked that Brady didn't have anything to say about the Pats. I get it, I guess. I don't see it as a big deal. Are New England fans furious here today? I know a few of them that don't seem to care all that much. And you see some rumblings on social media where, you know, New England fans are a little taken back that, you know, they weren't really mentioned at all. But when he left New England, didn't he give them already a farewell goodbye? Didn't he say, you know, and had a good run here, won a lot of Super Bowls, it was fantastic, you know, thank you for everything? Clearly there's probably some bad blood between Brady and the organization, whether it's with Kroft or with Bill Belichick. There seems to be something there, but I don't view this as a big deal. I think maybe, I guess, if you're gonna have, you know, a 4-page Instagram story, I suppose you drop something here on New England. I don't know. Does anybody agree? Those hanging out here, the FTN YouTube page, we appreciate you. If you're watching on Game Plus, I mean, a great lineup. You got Mayo Experience, All in Football. I mean, there's so much greatness over at Game Plus Network. Emory Hunt and the game plan is phenomenal. I love when he just gets to the whiteboard and he starts breaking down plays. But we do appreciate you guys hanging out here live on our FTN YouTube page. If you can, smash that like button. You have any questions, any comments, leave them here. Sean McCormick checking in. People just like to complain about everything. He made a big post when he left the Pats. I agree. That's exactly my take. He had a big post to the Pats when he left. That was it. I mean, does he need to thank them again? Like, really? Does he need to? Come on. And if you're a New England fan, what are you bitter about? What are you upset about? He gave you amazing years. Amazing years. I see Bills fans complaining a little bit, and, you know, I get it. Every fan base is a little different. And if you're a Bills fan, you've been inside the division with Brady for years, and it's been so frustrating. And, you know, there's some Bills fans that don't like Brady, that they'll tell you straight up, they don't even think he's the GOAT, that he's not that great of a quarterback, but yet they'll say, and, you know, well, we had no chance of ever winning the division because of Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's like, you can't have both ways. You know what I mean? Like, he's either good or he's not, and he's good. And even myself, not going to lie, I'm rocking the hat here today. Expected haircut this week. Buckle up. But in 2004, when the Eagles lost to the Pats, yeah, I was frustrated. Like, did I hate Brady? No, but I was frustrated. I didn't like love him. I didn't like the Pats. I was jealous of all the success that they had, but you appreciate greatness. I saw Elliot Chris tweet a couple weeks ago that he used to have a hate on for Tom Brady as well as a Jets fan. That's another thing that I totally get. I understand, you know, there's been some cheating and, you know, the Deflategate, and there's been a lot of that stuff. Maybe reasons to direct some hate towards Tom Brady, but at the end of the day, what are we talking about here? Like, he gave us so much greatness. Like, you gotta respect the guy. And to go out on top at 44 to lead the league in passing yards and touchdowns, to still, like, do it, it's not like Big Ben, you know, playing until Ben, you know, all he has is a 4-yard throw in his back pocket, right? I mean, Breeze and Big Ben, these guys didn't go out on top. Brady's at least going out on top. We all know that this guy can play again, right? I think it's a little shocking because he's so competitive. But when you hear him talk over the past couple weeks on his podcast and talking about family and, you know, his body and stuff, you know, you read the letter that he had today, it's understandable, right? But there's no reason to hate this guy. Tino's going to jump on here next. We're going to talk about some Brady moments that stand out. Of course, he's going to mention the two Super Bowls that the Giants won. Of course, I'm going to, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, yeah. But, like, Brady has just been so great, and we just have to sit back and respect it, I think, honestly. We just have to sit back and respect the greatness of, in my opinion, the best quarterback I've ever seen. And, you know, I was a little too young to see Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. You know, the old man was a 49ers fan, so I saw enough. I heard enough. But Brady, what he done, and to leave Tampa or to leave New England and go to Tampa on a new team and have that kind of success, and what he did in the years with the Pats, with limited weapons in the passing game, let's be honest about that too. He did have some great weapons. Obviously, Gronk is a stud. We'll wait for Gronk's retirement in a couple of days probably. But Randy Moss, obviously, is a guy that stands out. Edelman stands out. Welker stands out. But really, there was a lot of great years from Brady when he didn't have a ton of weapons. So enough about Brady. I just thought it was a little odd to hear, you know, Patriots fans a little bitter and upset that they weren't mentioned or they weren't talked about. His Hall of Fame speech, I'm sure he's going to mention Bill Belichick and company. We got 11 games on the ice in the NHL, a lot to get to. Tino's going to drop by and not just talk about the Super Bowl MVP odds and Tom Brady, but we're also going to dive into the NBA schedule a little bit. We got Pat Mayo on the show tomorrow. You guys are well aware of Pat Mayo. The Mayo Experience can be found on Game Plus Network as well. He's going to drop by tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot about golf. We're going to start to turn the page into MLB as well. It's kind of how when I dive into baseball, as soon as you know, the Super Bowl is done and football is done, then you can kind of turn the page on the NFL a little bit. I mean, we'll still be talking, you know, drafts, and it's never going to go away. It never does go away. There's a lot of quarterbacks across, a lot of teams across the league now that need quarterbacks, right? It's going to be interesting. What happens in Tampa? Does Bruce Arians' collar quits too? Is Godwin gone? Is Gronk gone? There's a lot of moving pieces probably in Tampa. Does Rodgers leave? What happens in Green Bay? Is obviously Jordan Love era would begin early. Denver needs a new quarterback. I think the Saints need a new quarterback. Washington, Carolina needs a new quarterback. That division now all of a sudden up for grabs, right? I mean, Tampa, Saints, kind of spiraling down out of control. Atlanta, Matt Ryan, you know, is Carolina's got a pretty good roster. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Panthers? Houston, Pittsburgh, are the Giants going to roll with Jones? I think they probably will. But there's a lot of teams now across the league that need quarterbacks. Tuck Rule, yeah, Mr. Roper, I get it. There's a reason to hate Tom Brady as well. Coming from a Raiders fan, I understand that one, the Tuck Rule. I get it. I understand the bitterness. I totally understand it. But taking all of that aside and just looking at what he has accomplished and the way that he went out and what he had did in the mid-40s, I mean, I have a hard time getting out of bed. Like, the hips are shot. I can hardly play beer league hockey. And Brady's out there slinging it with accuracy and getting it done. I am shocked that I'm shocked. Because I just felt like he could have had a couple more years of greatness. But it is what it is. A couple things off the top of the show. Let's give some love to our guy, Javi Perlezo. Last night, a big takedown in NHL DFS, which leads us to the three stars. Tino, I think I may have wanted to do the prize picks, whatever you got. We'll talk about all this at once, but it kind of transitions into to all of this. So a shout out to Javi, who took down two contests. I think he won $20,000 last night. And then we had some success here at Prize Picks, a free pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com. Continue to talk about this. And I know I may sound like a broken record here, but we are giving free picks away at FTNDaily.com. Prize Picks, you can mix and match across all the sports that you love. You can take a hockey pick. You can take an NBA pick. You got golf. They offer absolutely everything. Cricket, esports, you name it. And we're all given the picks. We have a free pick tracker, keeps track of absolutely everything. We've been doing this since mid-November, and we are up 90 units in the NHL. These are just straight parlays. And you see here on the board, three of the four hit. The Troy Terry and Zach Hyman one didn't hit. You need on the power play, you need to hit both. Troy Terry pushed. Zach Hyman got over the two. I wanted to just show the losers as well. I can't show everything great here. We were on the Oilers last night. Just broke my heart. Man, we need a day today to bounce back from last night. But the shot props are good, right? Leon Draisaitl over 3.5 shots. Boone Jenner over a hit. They're offering hits over at Prize Picks as well. Alexander Barkov and Brady Tkachuk over 3.5 shots. We got a little lucky there with Tkachuk and Draisaitl. That game got to overtime. We'll take it. And then the 4-1 here, the flex play, you need to hit three of the four and say you put a unit down on a four pick entry and you do the flex play, you hit three of the four, that pays out 4-1. Luckily, all four of those guys hit, Connor Garland as well. And if you did a power play on a one unit on a power play, hit all four of them, that would pay 9-1. But that's what I love about Prize Picks. It's just the, you know, you hit three of the four of the five, the two of the three, and you get a little bit money back. And even a two-leg parlay here, pick entry, you got Barkov and Tkachuk there at 2-1. You wouldn't find those odds at FanDuel or DraftKings. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't find 2-1. It'd probably be plus 186 or something like that, unless both guys are plus money for shot props. But for the most part, you know, it'd be like plus 180 or something like that. At Prize Picks, no matter who you pick, the two guys that you pick, the simple over or under on a player's prop or a fantasy score, you're going to get 2-1. So there's you know, some sneakiness here to Prize Picks. Use the promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100%. Deposit match of up to $100. If you already signed up, refer a friend, and that's a free $25 in your Prize Picks account. We'll save the stars when we go to, when we talk a little NHL. Off the top here, a bit of a rant just on Tom Brady. So we're running a little long in the first segment, surprise, surprise. But we'll get to the three stars of the night in the NHL, which Javi was all over in his winning ticket last night on DraftKings. And then we'll get into the NHL slate as well. And the artist will attack that question that you have after the break. Tina's in here next. We'll talk Brady and some NFL as well as some NBA a little bit later on. Mean Streets continues on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez here. You're watching Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Happy Tuesday to everybody. I just wanted to take care of the question here from Am the Artist here first, Tino, before we officially bring you in. You said he missed Dangle Bazzelli. It's live. It's over. It's about an hour long. We went a little long. I mean, 11 games in the NHL, but we broke them all down with a lot of respect from Tino, just to be patient with that show lasting so long. But we did have a lot of viewers getting some traction. So the last big night in the NHL before the All-Star break. And one thing I guess I failed to mention is that you can pick guys from the same game. It's like a same game parlay. How often do we talk about that, right? This is what we want. I just want to be able to hammer all the Florida Panthers, all the overs on shot props. Now, you do have to pick one other player from a different team, but it can be from that same game, Mark. So, for example, Florida playing the Rangers tonight, you could pick Barkov, you could pick Bennett, you could pick Sam Reinhardt, who's at two, by the way. He's got 12 shots in his last two games. And then you could go with Kreider or Mika Zibanejad and just attack it that way. Same thing in the NBA. You pick a high-paced NBA game. You feel like a high total. Both teams may be trading a lot of possessions, and you attack from both sides, right? So that's what there's a lot of reasons to get behind Prize Picks. Have some fun with it, guys. Again, we got the free pick tracker over at ftndaily.com, and we have a free Prize Picks Discord channel as well, where the conversations are happening all the time, where you can ask anybody a question. You can get there by visiting ftndaily.com, clicking the chat link up at the top, and that'll get you in. Tino, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to get in on a Prize Picks today, actually. I gotta use the promo code. I've been slacking. It's like one of those moments where you end up staying on a book because that's where all the money is, and like that's where you're doing well, and you just forget to dabble in both. And I think it's time. I'm getting chewed up on the book I'm in right now. I need to, I think, take it out, take everything out, start diversifying my assets, right? You gotta diversify my bonds, as a Chappelle show would say. But
it just saves you, right? How many times do we talk with George hanging out in the show? How many times do we talk about 3-for-4, 4-for-5? Seeing some people with when they give the goal props, they get 4-for-5, and we've been talking about maybe taking those as singles or combos or over at Prize Picks. You pick four, you save yourself a little bit with the flex play, you cover yourself, and there you go. What is this doing well? You speak of
George. It's futures bets. If I didn't hit futures bets, we'd be in big trouble.
Are you
going to
hedge that Rams bet or what? I got one as well. I think we both have the same ticket, 14-1, and I think we made it mid-September. It's in the pick tracker. It's September 14th. I think it was the moment after they beat the Bucks for me. Yes. I think that's what it was.
So yeah, I have it November. It was like November 2nd. I have that, and then I repressed it at 10-1. I actually, because of the Betting with Benny and Tino show, we have an 18-1 ticket out there. Unfortunately, it has like $10 on it. So I mean, it's like whatever. It counts. It's for something. Oh, yeah. But so we were able to get something off the Bengals. That's what I told you though. I'm torn. I want to ride with the Bengals. I think if I do end up betting them, I'm going to just go money line, and I'm not going to go against them. But I told you about some of the Super Bowl MVP plays. I don't know if we want to jump the gun to that, but I did get down with a lot of Bengals players yesterday. So we said on the show yesterday, jokes with McPherson, but I did get him in at 101. He dropped from 150 to 100, and now you said he's down to 60. So it's all jokes until the value is gone. So it was worth a shot. And then I took Jesse Bates at, I think, 101, and I took Ja'Marr Chase at 15 to 1, which on the board here, I'll throw it up for us. But on the board, we have him at 14 to 1. You mentioned Chase yesterday. I was listening to the show back, and you were like, Chase is at a bad play at 15 to 1. I still don't even think he's a bad play at 14 to 1 because – I think there's a case, if you look throughout the Bengals season, like as much as we would think Joe Burrow gets the praise, when Chase goes off, he takes over. And it's kind of the Ja'Marr Chase show. And I think if we get something like that on the Super Bowl, now he's going to have his work cut out for him because he's got to go against Jalen Ramsey. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's definitely possible. We saw Mike Evans toast Jalen Ramsey the other day against the Buccaneers. Like, I think Jalen Ramsey can be beat. So, when Ja'Marr Chase scores, he scores in bunches. I know he only had the one in the postseason this last game out against the Chiefs, and it took a while to get there. But I actually like these receivers more than I did at the start of this. I know, you know, I'm getting down with defensive guys, but I'm kind of betting everything but the quarterbacks right now. It just, it doesn't make sense to me to get down with plus 110 on Stafford and plus 210 on Burrow. I'd rather bet the Bengals at plus 210 on Burrow. I'd rather just bet the Bengals. I don't know. That's me. That's just me.
I mean, McPherson, again, just what we said off the top, Andrew's checking in and Gildon's like, oh, wow, you took Evan. Like, yeah, we took Evan. We talked about it yesterday at 151. Like, put a couple bucks down on that. Why wouldn't you? I don't think he's going
to
be the MVP.
10 to win $1,000 every day.
Well, come
twice
on, right?
Sunday, every day.
Right, the run that he's on. We talked a lot about him. We talked about him kicking field goals with the Gators and kicking the cap off the Gatorade bottle. That video started to surface yesterday, but it was one that surfaced a lot when the Bengals took him in the fifth round this past year. And what he's been doing all year, he's been clutch. So many walk-offs. He's yet to miss a field goal here in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Had him in the bet tracker to have two field goals. It was a Matt Friedman special, but he was plus money last week on Sunday to have two field goals. He's minus 140 right now to have two field goals. I like that one as well. But his odds have changed considerably. At BetMGM, he's still 100 to 1. You showed the graphic. I think he's still 100 to 1 over there on DK and FanDuel. He's 75 to 1 over at Caesars. He's 60 to 1 at Bet365. So people are betting him, right? They really are. A shout out to George for a couple things. We do have to give you some love and some respect for the Bengals. You did say Bengals to the Super Bowl since the wild card. You've been all over that. And you know what? As a show, we've been all over them too to cover quite a bit. All the games, we definitely like them against the Raiders. We like them to cover against the Titans. I did think the Titans were going to win that game. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I thought the Chiefs were going to win that game, but 7.5 points was just way too many. But I do want to give George another shout out for putting guys like Blanton on the list, right? Like we appreciate you digging deep for us, dude, when it comes to Super Bowl MVPs.
Because I did see, by the way, some news. I think CJ Usoma is going to play, or it looks like he's on the right track to play. And
Higbee. Potentially. Yes. I think Higbee more so than Uzuma, but the news is not the end of the world for either.
Yeah, and McCormick, I do love that you're mentioning Aaron Donald. We mentioned him a lot the last weekend on yesterday's show. I actually said, so I had a bet on Von Miller, as I've said 1,000 times, so I have it 60 to 1, down to 50 to 1. I actually like Aaron Donald significantly more with his price drop. I think it makes total sense seeing what he did on the sideline in that in that game against the 49ers. The leadership goes into it, and I just think he could have a day. I think the Rams should roll. I think they could, they probably will roll at home. But Burrow, I actually compared it, and maybe it's the Giant fan in me, but he's done everything Eli-esque lately. Like, despite the terrible offensive line, the guy's getting it done. It doesn't make sense. The football analytics people are dying right now. The Panay Sewell over Ja'Marr Chase people are dying right now. It's hard to make it make sense. It really is. And that's kind of why I did buy into Chase, because they're kind of turning something out of nothing. And it's a heck of a run that they're on right now. And it's one of those things, like, until they win this thing, no one's going to really believe that they're capable of doing it. And that's what I told you, man. I'm tired of betting against them. I don't know what I'm going to do for the game yet. Luckily, we have 2 weeks to make the decision, but they're a dangerous team to bet on, man. It's one of those teams of destiny things. They have every reason to lose. Every reason. The Rams have everything they need to beat the Bengals. They have a decent enough run game. They have a phenomenal defense. And yet still, we're probably going to be in a one-possession game for a majority of this thing. At least that's how I see it.
I see it that way too. I think the Rams win the Super Bowl. I do. I mean, they're going to be able to get some pressure. There's no question. They're going to be able to get some pressure on Joe Burrow. Nobody's been sacked more than him. Nobody's been hit more than him. The offensive line is not great. They're 30th in run blocking. It's clearly going to be an issue. But at the same time, Burrow's the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz, right? I mean, you're going to be blitzing him. If they're going to drop, you know, protect with seven, maybe a couple backs in there, protect with some tight ends. You know, you got, like we talked about against the Chiefs, you got Chase and Higgins running mirror routes on the outside. I mean, those guys can win matchups. As great as that secondary is in LA, I do give the benefit of the doubt, honestly, to those wide receivers in Chase and Higgins. It should be a phenomenal game. Like you said, we got a lot of time to really break this down. We'll get some new guests on this show, some different blood to give some different takes and whatnot. Maybe we'll keep track of everything. But for me right now, I've already bet Cincinnati +4. So I'm not going to come off of that. That's kind of where I lean, but I do like this Rams team. And Gildan says the Acres 35-1 has extreme appeal. Yes. I meant to bring that up yesterday. They have been using him a lot. 86% of the snaps a couple weeks ago and just like his second full game since rupturing his Achilles, which is pretty impressive. But this is a better matchup for him to run the football. Last week certainly wasn't against San Fran. So I expect him to have a bit of success running the rock against the Bengals. So at 35-1, if he was to have like a, I don't know, a couple touchdowns and runs for $150, catches a couple passes, like that does have Super Bowl MVP written all over it. And that would take it away from Kupp and take it away from Matthew Stafford. But there's not a lot of value really when it comes to betting Kupp or Stafford. But I would rather have Kupp than Stafford. We talked about that yesterday too. Yes. You're going to pick one of the two like yesterday or Sunday. If you would have said the MVP in that Niners and Rams game, it would have been Cooper Kupp, honestly, the game that he has had. And it has nothing to do with all the previous games. But if he has another one like that, I mean, he's the MVP.
I think the Acres point is, you know, is strong. And again, a shameless plug again, just check out the show with me and Benny that, you know, was on FTN Network. We're taking a look at the early lines. I distinctly was avid about if the Rams win this game, everyone's talking about, you know, these receivers. I went on my defensive rant yesterday on this show, but the way to attack this Bengals defense is to run the ball. You don't need to throw the ball against them. It's the exact reason why the Chiefs lost against 8-man coverages, because they dared them to run the ball and they refused to do it. They got too cute. That's it. If you just play football, run the ball, establish it, and go off it, I think it helps Stafford out a lot. And I just think that's where they're more vulnerable. You saw it against the Raiders with how Josh Jacobs had success. You can attack them through the ground game. And I think they have Michelle and Akers to do it. I think they still don't use them the right way. That's all I keep saying. Yeah. For some reason, it doesn't look right. Like, Akers is phenomenal. I get that. But, like, the way they bring Michelle in and he's, like, a spellback, he played more because of Akers' injury. I don't know. I feel like they can go better together, and it's just not working right now. I think that's the answer for the Rams. I think they got to run the ball if they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And McCormick brings up another good point, too, with the Chiefs. I mean, nearly 3 or 4 sacks in that game. I mean, Burrow escaped, right? Some of the runs that he had, it was the way that he snuck out of there. It kind of reminded me of like Big Ben back in the day, like when he could run a bit, like it looks like he's going to get sacked. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Eli, like Eli comes to mind, right? In the Super Bowl, just looks like he's going to get sacked. He kind of tucks away and then he finds a wide open wide receiver. But I think it should be a terrific Super Bowl. And that's something I would imagine the Bengals are trying to game plan for the next 13 days or so, is how to stop Donald and Von Miller, because it's going to be really tough to slow those two down. Should we break? Let's break, and we'll come back. Stick around. I want to get your thoughts on Brady. Let's touch on Brady just a little bit and some other news around the NFL. So Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus. Keep her locked. So Tom Brady officially hangs it up. I think, you know, it was reported earlier. I think, honestly, what we talked about yesterday, Tino, was that Brady probably wanted to announce it himself. He wanted to be the guy to say, listen, I'm done. He didn't want it to be Schefter or whoever the heck it was reporting that Brady was done or leaning that way. But here it is. He's done. And he doesn't mention the Pats at all. What's your thoughts on that?
I guess if you're a Pats fan, you feel a type of way. Who cares? Like, who cares if he mentioned the Pats or not? He gave a nice farewell sayonara to them. Everyone kind of knew the writing was on the wall when he left, and he did. And look, I think the Bucs deserve some credit, too. I think they shelled the franchise out for him to win that second Super Bowl. And I chirp in the comments because it's like, can we have the GOAT debate? I, for one, think football is more of a team sport than any, and I understand we have to appreciate his greatness, but I think if you were to tell me the Bucs weren't in a great position for Brady to succeed and win that Super Bowl and didn't go all in to do it, you know, you're lying to yourself. I think, you know, Brady had the benefit of being who he is, but the teams around him being in great positions with really good head coaches and foundations already set. And you know, there's a little bit of luck to it, a lot of skill, and a lot of greatness as well. I just think that he deserved to show respect to the Bucs for what they did. And you know, if you're a Pats fan and you're mad about it, just like go back a couple of years and see the long post that he made about the Patriots. And it's not like he's not going to the Hall of Fame wearing a Patriots uniform. Like, that's the thing. That's what matters. Like, who cares? Right? Like, it's
he's probably going to sign a one-day contract with them, isn't he? He's probably going to sign a one-day contract. He's going to retire as a Patriot. I mean, he's going to talk them up nonstop in his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny, too, because we were talking about where Jimmy G would land, and I just saw his name in the chat. But I did see the Buccaneers as one of the places. There is no way Jimmy G is going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Does it make sense? Sure. But there's no way he's following in Tom Brady's footsteps. Absolutely not. I don't buy that. Not even a little bit.
There's what about the Raiders one? I hear the Raiders one is interesting. I know McDaniels just talked up. I mean, he really did talk up Derek Carr as like a top five quarterback in the NFL yesterday in his you know, his presser. I don't know if he actually believes that or not. Top five in his division. I don't know.
I do think Mariota
in there too.
The Washington Redhogs, and that's how I'll refer to them for the foreseeable future until I'm proven otherwise. Washington's an interesting spot. I mean, in division, I would hate to see it. Like we talked about it, the guy's a winner.
Jimmy G.
I think Come Jimmy on. G to Washington. Look, I think it makes a ton of sense, honestly, and I think he'd be serviceable. At Washington, all they've needed to be a halfway decent team is have a serviceable quarterback. I don't think it takes them to the next level, but. I mean,
as a Giants fan or like anybody inside the NFC East, they shouldn't hate that if Jimmy G goes there. I think he's serviceable too, and I think they need a quarterback.
I don't hate it. I think it's one of his better spots. Like we talked about Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh makes sense because of weapons, but I just think Washington, out of all the places I've seen, is more set up for Jimmy G to go there. Like I think it just is it's a spot that makes more sense. Like I had a feeling Alex Smith was going to go there when he went there. Like kind of just. You just see it. He looks good in red. Let's put it that way. He looks good in red. It looks good with a W on his helmet. So I don't know. I see him at Washington. I wouldn't be scared, but I think Washington would be a halfway decent team if he goes there.
Poor Terry McLaurin, I think. That's kind of what I think. The guy's had like eight quarterbacks here in 3 or 4 years, and I don't think Jimmy G would be the answer there. But he is a winner. I mean, it would be jokes to see him go to Tampa Bay, Gildan. That would be funny to see that. I am the artist saying Jimmy G to the Jets. I mean, what? We don't like Wilson there?
No.
We're already done on Wilson. That's it? You're closing the book on him? Jimmy G is a fine quarterback. He's a game manager. But again, at the end of the day, when the game is on the line and you need to move up the field 80 yards, it's not something that I would give him the benefit of the doubt to do.
Speaking of the Jets, did you see someone put $5,000 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl yesterday when the books opened to win $1 million? Good for them.
I did. Good for
them. It's nice to have $5,000 to just throw around on that, right?
Must be nice. Before we wrap up this whole Brady thing, I guess there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something we'll definitely be talking about throughout. Until it happens, we can always speculate on Rodgers. Would Rodgers go to Tampa Bay? I think Rodgers is just fine where he is, again, to be honest. I think he's got it made, man. There's no competition in the NFC North. You just lost Brady in that division. If Russell Wilson, does Wilson get traded? There's really not a lot of competition in the NFC, all right? Stafford's getting a little bit older. And, you know, I think he's kind of got it made where he is. But overall, were you surprised to see Brady, like, it does feel a little shocking considering the season he just had, Tino.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. I didn't believe it. I finally saw it from himself. I still don't fully believe it. But I was here for a petty victory lap of his own. Like after, you know, it announced that he didn't do it. I would have loved to see a spite season of him just coming back just because everyone thought he would retire and he's back. I don't know, though, because, yeah, he puts this out, but there was also a quote from his podcast yesterday that everything's day by day with him, which I thought was super interesting, right? Like, it's day by day, so he's hot and cold. So today he wants to retire, probably wants to miss all of training camp, and then come August, if the Bucs haven't figured out their quarterback situation or say whoever they get. Like, you think the Bucs won't be knocking on Brady's door, right? If Kyle Trask, say, I see his name, say Kyle Trask is struggling, and whatever veteran they bring in to compete with him, Blaine Gabbert, they give the keys to Blaine Gabbert and he gets hurt. You're not going to knock on Tom Brady's door. Like, I doubt it. Like, you even heard it with Breeze when the Saints got in injury trouble this year. Like, I just don't think it's the last we've heard Tom Brady's name. I still don't believe that it's the last we're going to hear of him potentially playing in the NFL.
Interesting. I mean, He's super competitive. I could see him in the front office somewhere. I could see him as he's going to have some sort of role, I do believe, maybe with the team. But we'll see. I like, on the way out here, this is a tweet from Jalen Ramsey I saw. The best QB of all time retired. Dang, he threw his last TD on me. And you were just talking earlier about Mike Evans having his way with Jalen Ramsey in that game. So respect all around from everybody towards Tom Brady. We're going to switch gears, talk a little hockey, get some picks, some props, some goal scorers, and Tino's got some NBA stuff for you as well. So Mean Streets continuing here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in here to Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. 11 games on the ice in the NHL. Tino, if you have the three-star board handy, I did want to give a lot of love to Javi and to some of these Florida Panthers players. So Javi had line three for Florida last night, and he had Matthews with Marner. He also had Jaro Halak, who he wrote up in the NHL article over at FTNDaily.com, who almost had a shutout in that game, and it was just blown late in that contest against the Chicago Blackhawks. But Mason Marchment, Sam Reinhart, I mean, to have those two guys to attack Florida line three is really kind of thinking outside the box. We all know that the Blue Jackets are awful. They're trash. I mean, from an analytical standpoint, from a 5-5 standpoint, and they give up a lot of rubber. The highest expected goal rate at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks, according to Natural Stat Trick. Second most goals against at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks as well. But a lot of people are attacking line one and attacking line two. Javi was thinking outside the box and went with line three. So Mason Marchment has 2 goals, 6 points, and 6 shots. Sam Reinhart had a hat trick, 4 points, and 4 shots on goal. And, you know, for the most part, all these Florida guys are owned, right? I mean, they've scored 192 goals this season. It's the most in the NHL. It's by far the most in the East. The second team in the East in terms of goals for the Tampa Bay Lightning, 154. The Panthers have 192. They're 23-3 on home ice. They're unstoppable. They've won 4 straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And this is just an example of their third line. Like last night, they put up an 8 spot against the Blue Jackets, and they only get 1 goal from their top line, from Barkov and Huberto and Duclair. And they only get 1 goal from their second line with Sam Bennett. It was the production from the third line. So for Mason Marchment, he's coming into tonight pretty hot. I know a lot of people may try to attack him. You know, an 11-game slate, he won't be chalky, but he should be picked up in fantasy hockey leagues, just considering, you know, the upside that he has playing on this team. Plus, he's a terrific scorer in his own right as well. But he comes in riding a four-game point streak, rather, where he has 6 goals over that span. And eight, I had this written down, 12 points, 6 points last night, but he's got 3 multi-point games in his last 4. And then for Sam Reinhart, just a proven 20-goal scorer playing on a brutal team in Buffalo. And, you know, the hat trick last night, 4 shots. He had 8 shots on goal in the game prior. So he's got 12 shots on goal here over his last 2. PrizePicks has him for 2 shots here this evening, which is, you know, pretty nice. Again, you head on over to prizepicks.com, use that promo code FTN. So we give him some love. And then Austin Matthews, got a lot of love to as well, who's arguably the best sniper in the NHL. He has a hat trick last night, and the Leafs come from behind. So let's transition into tonight and talk about a couple shot props. With 11 games on the ice, there's a lot that I like, and there's a lot of plus money plays over at the FTM Bet Tracker, and we want you guys to head on over there to check it out. You can use the promo code MeanStreets, NHL, or Meanie. Save yourself a little bit of cash, but these are the 5 for me, and some of them are usual suspects, of course. Not really breaking any news with some of these guys. For Braden Point, over 2.5 shots. He's cleared in 8 of his past 10. He's got a matchup here against the San Jose Sharks. Over the last 6 weeks at 5-5 per 60, the Sharks have allowed the most shot attempts in the NHL, according to Natural Stat Trick. And it's not even close. Believe it or not, there is a gap between number 2 team Montreal and number 1 team San Jose. So they are up at the top and allowing shot attempts. I do believe Nikita Kucherov will return here tonight. So if he does return, he is also in play. I won't come off Braden Point, but if you were just picking one player from that game, it would be Nikita Kucherov. But Braden Point is at a pretty good price. Max Pacioretty's been back for 2 games now since he's missed a bunch of time due to a wrist injury. He hasn't cleared yet. He only has 3 shots in those 2 games, but back home on home ice against the Buffalo Sabres, who are third in shot attempts at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks of the season. And they have allowed the second most shots, just behind Columbus, at 5-5 per 60. So we do like Pacioretty. Barkov has had at least 4 shots in 7 straight games. A tougher matchup against the New York Rangers, but he's shooting the puck, and it's just hard to get away from him. You can get that at plus money. Matt Duchene at minus 130 over at Caesars, 2.5 shots. He has cleared in 7 of his past 9 games. I do like Philip Forsberg as well. Brock Besser on the other side, but you're getting a pretty good price here from Matt Duchene. And then Brian Rust over 2.5 shots. You guys know this. I love Rust. I love him, especially when he's on home ice. He's well over a point per game on home ice this season. And 2.5 shots is something that he's cleared in 5 of his past 7 games. Tino, if you have the point prop, we can go there, but I'm fine whatever way you want to go. Here it is. So this is something new, a little different. A lot of these guys are juiced up to get points around minus 200. You can't take them as singles. You can have some fun with some secondary guys, maybe to get a point, like a Burakovsky tonight, or maybe a Cole Perfetti tonight playing with Kyle Connor, Valeri Nichushkin on the top line with Mikko Rantanen and Gabriel Landeskog. But this worked out for us last week when we gave something like this on a show. So plus 326, it's not crazy odds, not significant, but Mitch Marner's on a run here. The Devils are not great defensively. They allowed the 7 goals last night. They don't have a healthy goaltender right now. Dougie Hamilton is close to returning, but still defensively, they've given up a whole lot. Mitch Marner's on a bit of a heater right now. He's got goals in 4 straight. That top line in Toronto, they're back together, you know, Marner and Matthews. So I do like these guys to connect again tonight. Marner with the point, Brian Rust with the point, Kyle Connor with the point, and Braden Point himself with the point. I think you guys have heard me say this enough where you don't need me to probably hammer it home. But if you're new to the show and you're just hanging out, we see more viewers here these days. With football is over, people want some hockey picks, I am assuming. Brian Rust, again, he's just been really good on home ice. Just wanted to give you guys some of the numbers. 12 games on home ice. He's got 9 goals and 20 points on home ice. And he's got 10 points in 11 games on the road. So overall, I mean, he's got 30 points in 23 games. It's kind of unsustainable. He's missed some time due to an injury. But when that line gets on the ice, Gensel and Crosby and Rust, they just dominate play. They control play. I know Washington is a bit better defensively, but I do still like this matchup for Rust and company. So that's what I'm thinking for some points. We'll break. We'll come back. I got some goal scorers and some picks as well. And Tino has some NBA picks as well. So still a lot more to get to on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Continuing the hockey talk here. Again, 11 games. And if you want a larger breakdown, Eric Young and I recorded Dangle Bazzelli. It was pretty lengthy, not going to lie. We did talk a bit about some futures halfway through and some fantasy hockey pickup advice. Keep in mind, if you're playing season-long leagues, it's a two-week period with the All-Star break. So don't use up all your ads just yet, because you're going to have another week out of the break. So you want to just keep a couple ads in your back pocket just in case. If you have any fantasy hockey questions, you guys can always reach me at Chris Meany or leave the comment there, and we'll always circle back before a puck drop. Tino, you got some picks. We got some picks, and we got some goal scorers, which we'll hammer home here. So we'll start with the picks. I like the Jets tonight on the road against the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, the Flyers finally won a hockey game the other day. Was it their first in January? I don't know. I mean, this team has 2 double-digit losing streaks this season. They're going to start to ship players off. It does look like, you know, Sean Couturier could potentially get shut down for the rest of the season. Claude Giroux will probably get traded. I know Connor Hellebuyck has been a little hot and cold, and the Jets really have been hot and cold themselves since losing Paul Maurice when he resigned. But even a team on the road here at minus 145, I think, is a decent price for the Jets. Or plus money to win in 60 if you wanted to go that route and get a little bit more value. But I like Winnipeg to win here. The Flames are on the road as well, as are the Panthers. I just can't get away from the Panthers. I mean, I just can't. It's one of those things that we've seen this year. Like, betting the Panthers and the over has just been so successful. If you've done it every single time they play, you have money in your pocket. Tougher matchup, the second half of a back-to-back in New York, MSG against the Rangers, Igor Shesterkin, and I understand all of that. We were on the Wild the other night to play and win in New York. It can be done. The Rangers are a good team. I have a lot of respect for them. You know, Spencer Knight's going to be between the pipes, so I do think we'll see some goals. I think you can continue to attack overs when it comes to this Florida team. They just come at you in waves. They have so much offensive firepower. They dominate possession. It should be a highly entertaining game. Shesterkin's going to see a lot of rubber here. But I am going to back the Florida Panthers, and I like the Calgary Flames. I like a lot of what they have to offer between the pipes with Markstrom. I think he's a strong goaltender. Their offense is clicking right now. Dallas doesn't have a ton of offense outside of that top line with Roope Hintz, Joe Pavelski, and Jason Robertson. They're not getting consistent goaltending between the pipes like the Flames are, with Jacob Markstrom. So as long as Markstrom is starting, I don't think these odds will change too much. You could wait it out just to see if Markstrom will get the nod between the pipes, but he's coming off a shutout. I do believe he will. I got the Maple Leafs in there to win in 60, minus 140 against the Devils. I don't know if they go back to Jack Campbell, who's really, really struggled lately. I would assume they do. I think they go back to Campbell, but the offense is clicking. I think they do enough to win in 60. And then some high totals here over between the Devils and the Leafs, the over between Washington and Pittsburgh, I think 5.5 is just a little low. And then the under between the Ottawa Senators and the New York Islanders. Neither team can really score a whole lot. The Sens won last night against Edmonton, but they are still without Josh Norris and Drake Batherson. And then quickly, some goal scorers on the way out. We are given a lot of picks, 11 games on the ice. We do have a lot of action over in our FTM bet tracker, but we do appreciate you guys hanging out for the show. Connor, Pacioretty, Gensel, Point, Marner. Those are my goal scorers for tonight. I already talked up a lot of these guys. It kind of correlates, right? I'm hoping that they have three shots. And then, you know, if they have three shots to get some chances, maybe one of those find the back of the net. As for Marner, I lied. I thought he had goals in four straight. He has goals in six straight. He's got multi-point games in every one of those games but one. And he's been shooting 2, 5, 6, and 4 shots. So he has had at least two shots in five of his past six games, which is, you know, not really like Marner, right? He's a bit of a pass-first guy, but that team is clicking right now. The Flyers beat the Kings. Yes, the Flyers beat the Kings. They finally won a hockey game. Man, they don't really have any excuses of why they're struggling so much. Tino's in here next. We're going to talk about the association. Keep her locked. Welcome back in one final time. A few games in the association tonight. We got about 4 minutes, Tino. What do you got for us?
We have a game where something's got to give here. This has been my favorite play. I was able to cash a ticket off this because they were egregiously valued against the Golden State Warriors on the road, a game that they only had Kyrie Irving and won and covered their 8.5 there. They opened at 7.5 last night. I bet them again at 6.5 earlier this morning. I think they're all the way down to 5 if ESPN is serving me correctly, just because I'm looking at it here and it says 5. So it keeps going down. The Suns have been absolutely destroying. They are rolling. They are the best away team and home team, or not the home team, but in terms of record-wise, they're the best away team, even though they're home and they're the second-best home team. So they're just the best team in the NBA right now, 40-9. Hard for me to really saddle up and say that the Nets are going to win this, but if James Harden plays, I think they have a really good shot. The Nets play incredible on the road. They are the second-best road team in the league, and even though they've been losing and struggling, I think they've lost 4 in a row here. They're just too good to not keep games close. It's down to 5. I loved it more at 7.5 and 6.5. I'll still take them at 5 if that's where the number is now, and I'm advising people to play this. I love the Nets to cover. I kind of like them to win. The Suns have won 10 in a row, but I don't know. I've seen them lose before. They've lost 9 times, right? It's got to happen at some point. They've lost 4 games at 5 games at home. They've lost more at home than on the road, so I'd like to think something's going to give there. Then I'm going to take a home team here. This is a team I can't figure out, but just because here's the iffy thing. There's a couple games now I'm going to mention. You got to check injury reports. I think it's super essential because it could fluctuate. So I don't know if Jimmy Butler's going to play for the Miami Heat, but the away team has won The Raptors won as the away team the last time these teams played. The Heat won as the home team a few games ago when they played the second time. They've split the series so far. The Raptors now return home to play the Miami Heat, who just got shelled, and we were on the Celtics yesterday for that. They got shelled against Boston. They've lost 2 in a row now, including the one against the Raptors in triple overtime, and they had to battle back to do that. They outscored the Raptors, I think, by 10 or 20 points down the stretch there to make that game go to overtime. I like the Raptors at home. I like it. It's low enough at 2.5. The thing is, it could fluctuate. You got to see what's going to happen because I don't know. The Raptors look crystal clear right now, and then all of a sudden, like yesterday with the Cavs, I love them at 7.5, and Darius Garland's out of the game. I don't know what's happening. So a lot changes from 1 o'clock to tip off. So just monitor that. I like the Raptors right now, but things can change. Then we're going to go with the Warriors, who a lot of injury report stuff is coming out. No Draymond Green, no Andre Iguodala. Looks like Otto Porter's day-to-day, no Klay Thompson, and still – I think this line is too low against the San Antonio Spurs. Close to a pick'em at this point. It's dropped all the way down to 1.5 in some books. I see it at 2 right now. -130. I don't mind laying it on the money line. The Warriors, 14-9 on the road. The Spurs, just not very good. They've lost 3 of the last 5. They've played teams close. I think Steph is on one. I don't know if anyone saw Kevin Porter Jr. trying to get in Steph's ear and then excited him to drop 1,000 points in the fourth quarter. Probably shouldn't do that. Right. And so it looks like maybe that might get him back on track. He had been slumping up to that point. So I'm going to ride the hot hand. I'm going to take the Warriors here. So we have a home team. We have 2 away teams. So naturally what I'm going to do is continue to take away teams. I'll never learn my lesson. And here's the biggest one. I love this play because this is the game that the away team has won every matchup. The Timberwolves won in Denver. Denver won in Minnesota. They are back in Minnesota tonight, but it looks like Jokic is day-to-day. I don't know. I think it's very contingent on that. The Nuggets have turned things around. They've beaten some really good teams as of late on this road trip. They beat the Nets. They beat Milwaukee. They handled both teams very well, but large in part because of Jokic. If he doesn't play, they said it's right toe soreness. I don't know what that means, but he might not play. So it's contingent on that. The line's at 4 right now. The reason I love the Nuggets is because of the number. It's at 4. Nuggets won by 2. The Timberwolves handled them when Denver was home. But I would love the 4. I love a 2-possession spot here if we can get it. If not, I'm going to go with the home team. It's going to switch drastically. If Jokic plays, I love the Nuggets. If he doesn't, I think it's a no-brainer. We're going over to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it would depend what that number is. But if it's less than 6, I'll probably lay it, and I'll probably get in on that. But, yeah, those are my 4. And I'm staying away from college basketball.
Yeah. Keep an eye on the NBA news as always, guys. It's the one sport you really need to keep an eye on. From Tina Rodriguez, myself, Chris Meany, thanks as always for taking the time to hang out. Pat Mayo is in here tomorrow. We'll talk about the Pebble Beach, the Pro-Am. Should be fun.